Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Acts chapter 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them, because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Lesson 93, Better to Obey God Than Men. In our last lesson, we saw how God healed a lame man through the apostles, and how this led them to preach salvation to the Jews, being witnesses of God's power and salvation through Jesus Christ. The miracle of healing was God's way of appealing to the nation of Israel to repent and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Today the story continues from where we left off, and with the reaction of the religious leaders in Jerusalem who tried to stop the preaching about Jesus. The apostles said they must obey God rather than men, and the result is that the gospel spread and more souls came to follow Christ. When the Sadducees heard the apostles preaching about the resurrection of Jesus, they were greatly troubled, for they did not believe in resurrection. They had the apostles arrested and held in custody until the next morning. When the Jewish religious leaders, along with the high priest and his family, had all gathered to question Peter and John, they asked them by what power and name they had done this miracle. Peter, filled with the Spirit, answers them boldly, claiming that the same Jesus they had crucified and whom God had raised from the dead, it was by his name and authority that the lame man was healed. This was a direct confrontation, and Peter was not going to compromise or withdraw from the intimidation of the whole Jewish religious authority. Peter tells them that it is through Jesus and Jesus alone that men can be saved. The Jewish authorities marvel at the boldness of these simple men, who had no formal rabbinic training, and took notice that they had been with Jesus. A person who knows Jesus personally will have confidence and boldness in their salvation, with a transforming power in their lives that others will see and should marvel at. The Jewish authorities threatened Peter and John to no longer preach in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John asked them to judge for themselves whether they ought to obey men rather than God. They said that they could only testify to the truth of what they had seen and heard. This should be the attitude of every Christian. If men were more willing to please God than men, then the world would see Christ in the Christian church and not just the failures and weakness of man's religion. The Jewish leaders are stumped as to what to do, since these men refuse to quit their mission of preaching in Jerusalem the name and power of Jesus to heal and save. They knew that a miracle had been performed, and no one could deny this. The man was walking, leaping, and praising God, and all could bear witness to it. They were forced to let the apostles go with some warnings. The power of Christ and the gospel cannot be hindered by evil men, or even the devil himself, for God will be vindicated and his truth shall stand. When the apostles went back and reported to the whole church what had taken place, they lifted up their hearts to God and prayed. They acknowledged God's power in creation and remembered David's prophecy about the heathen raging and the people plotting vainly against the Lord's anointed. They acknowledged that Herod, Pilate, and the Jews had plotted to kill Jesus, and this was all according to God's plan and purpose to bring about salvation. Then they appealed to God for greater boldness to proclaim his word, and that miracles, signs, and wonders might be performed in the name of Jesus. They wanted the whole world to know the power of God to save sinners. The Holy Spirit filled them and took away their fears. When a man or a woman knows they possess eternal life, then the most important thing to them is to boldly tell the message of the gospel to others, so that they also may hear and be saved, even if that means persecution and even death. In response to their prayer, God shook the room where they were gathered, and they were all filled by the Holy Spirit and spoke God's word with boldness. A true mark of the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life is their attraction to and proclamation of God's word. Not the words of men, and not unintelligent sounds, but the word by which men can hear the gospel and be saved. Next we heard how God blessed the young church with unity of mind and heart, and that they did not consider their possessions as belonging to themselves alone. They began to sell their lands and houses to share the proceeds with the apostles for distribution to all that had need among them. The apostles were giving great witness to the resurrection of Jesus through their preaching and wonders, and the grace of God was upon them all. While they began to sell their property and share with the needs of others, there is mention of one man named Barnabas, who sold some land that he had and placed the money at the feet of the apostles. This demonstrated not only his faith in Christ, but his belief that these apostles were God's chosen men to proclaim the good news and to feed and bless the church. Giving money sacrificially is perhaps one of the most difficult things for people to do. Even godly Christians can find it most difficult to part with their money. However, when a person is filled with the Spirit and they view things as God sees them, then they will find their security in Christ and not in money. They see money as an opportunity to help those less fortunate than themselves. How a person handles money says a great deal about their faith and maturity in Christ. How much would you be willing to give to the Lord? Until you are ready to surrender all to Him, then you cannot experience the power of God in your life. Barnabas became a great man in the early church and was called to preach the gospel abroad, but it started by his faith through giving. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." Acts chapter 4, verse 19. And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we saw the reaction of the Jewish authorities to Peter and John, who had been preaching the resurrection and salvation through Jesus Christ. These Jewish leaders did not like to hear that the man they had crucified was not only alive, but performing great miracles in Jerusalem through his servants. When challenged, Peter and John boldly told them that they were prepared to obey God rather than men. We also learned about how the early church was willing to share with each other's needs and the unity and power they enjoyed in their fellowship. Someone might ask the question, how can the church today regain its power and testimony like the church of the first century? Oftentimes, today's church seems to lack real spiritual power and influence upon the world. We must ask ourselves why we as Christians are not making a greater impact for our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing more souls saved and added to God's eternal kingdom. We should notice some things about the early church and ask ourselves if we are doing as they did. We all want to see God give us showers of blessing, and we pray for the power of God to rest upon us, making us shine as lights in a dark world. Let us take notice that these early believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. This did not mean that more of the Holy Spirit came upon them, for they were already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Some might be inclined to think, if you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, then perhaps you can be half full or one quarter full of the Holy Spirit, as though we get only a portion of the Spirit depending on how well we pray or behave. The fact is that every Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit from the moment of their conversion. However, this does not imply that we have given Him full control over our lives, our thoughts, and our actions. When we yield entirely to His will and control, then we are filled by the Holy Spirit. So it is not a matter of getting more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit getting more of us in submission and obedience to Him. Because the early Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were filled with a desire to share with the needs of those around them. The spirit of generosity is the mark of a Christian that is filled by the Holy Spirit. If the whole church is so filled with sacrificial love that they begin to share liberally with others, then the church would be transformed and others would see the power of Christ in our lives. So often we want to cling to our money and possessions, but the Holy Spirit wants to make us cheerful givers, since God has been so bountiful to us in saving our souls. The early church was not only willing to share with the physical needs of those around them, but they were also deeply concerned about sharing the gospel message with the world. They prayed for boldness to proclaim the word. It was through hearing the word that they learned of salvation through Jesus Christ. They learned how much God loved them and was willing to forgive them, even after they had despised and rejected Jesus. The gospel had so gotten hold of them and converted them that they were compelled to want to share God's message of love and salvation to the world. They knew that doing so would meet with resistance and some would fight against them, perhaps even kill them, as they had done to Jesus. None of this mattered, for the message was so important and concerned the eternal welfare of the people whom God called to repentance. The Holy Spirit will also convict us about the seriousness of the gospel message and compel us to want to share this message with our family and friends as much as we possibly can. When the Holy Spirit is working in us in this manner, then it will also transform the church into a mission field with passion for reaching souls. So often our modern churches are centered around our own selfish desires and being served rather than serving the needs of those around us. The Christian and every local church should be driven by God's grace to love others and to give away the gospel at every opportunity. To see God's power in the church today, Christians will have to begin to see themselves as citizens of heaven and not of this world. This means storing our treasures in heaven and not on earth. until we are willing to let the kingdom of God cost us not just a small donation on Sunday morning, but the sacrifice of all that we are and all that we have, our Christianity will remain shallow and ineffective in this world. For what makes us different from the rest of the world? Is it not the radical, transforming power of the Holy Spirit who causes us to forsake all and follow Christ? Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number six, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.